When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
So welcome to our debate about Pax Europiana, this podcast, which I have now in the fifth edition. And this one after NATO enlargement, after EU enlargement, OECD and OSZE enlargement. And it's now time for the Council of Europe to discuss this one. The Council of Europe is really, again, a very important one of the seven sisters of international organizations created for peace in Europe after the Second World War. And this, again, also why this podcast is called Pax Europiana, a peace, European peace. The Americans, basically, and the winners and the Allied winning the Second World War have created this institutional mix for a reason. It's a little bit, you know, in the shadow now. We only talk about EU and NATO, but we should really focus very much on the Council of Europe because it has a wonderful, powerful institutional framework in the rule of law, in the human rights sector, with the court in Strasbourg, and it has a strong meaning in the future, less in Western Europe and inside the European Union, but certainly in the fragile periphery, in this arc between Russia and in Russia, with Turkey, Central Asia, I will come to that, and also, of course, when it comes to the general meaning of supporting this important human rights concept in the countries where it's in danger. It's also in Hungary and in Poland. Yeah. So the Council of Europe certainly has a strong future, but it has also a little bit, you know, we cannot keep everything like we had it in the end of the 40s, in the beginning of the 50s. It's a little bit rusty, dusty, our really well-working system of institution, and we have to adopt it. And that's also the target, and I will now describe in which sense. Obviously, you will say, I want to enlarge everything, you know, but I want to include, let's call it an inclusion strategy, because now in the Council of Europe, there is already almost all Europe, and we will have to discuss a lot about our relations with Russia and the readmittance of Russia in the voting rights after the crimes of the annexation of Crimea and the war against Ukraine and several other really unacceptable behaviors. Yeah. But first about enlargement, let's be systematic. The thing is, the Republic of Kosovo is still not a member of the Council of Europe. Many countries, most countries in the world, half of them have recognized it, and Kosovo is a European state, yeah? And Kosovo has made a huge progress with the help of their international partners from the EU in the rule of law. And, you know, the reputation is maybe not good, but the reality is much better. And there is no reason when we now allow Russia, which is really so far from old standards, an aggressive, hostile nation, we allow Russia back fully into the Council of Europe, but Kosovo not. And that's really beyond understanding. So Kosovo is the first one, very fast in the Council of Europe. Then the second one is the case of Belarus. Belarus still has this terrible situation with the death penalty. And of course, it's a dictatorship of Lukashenko. He's not elected anymore. He was always a dictator. But now it's quite obvious after what happened in August. And the question is how to treat Belarus. Belarus should also. The Belarusians have deserved. The same argument is true like with Russia. The Belarusian people have deserved the basic civil rights protection which the Council of Europe system provides. So should be also back. But I call for a government in exile recognized by the EU and by the US with Mrs. Tikhanovskaya, hopefully correctly pronounced, but the leader which was elected. So recognize it and let this Belarus, our recognized Belarus led by her, the government in exile, join the Council of Europe. So there is the basic idea that everybody there can make a claim towards the European rights system. It's very important. So we come to that. That's the second one. And the other six countries which are missing is different to the OECD. The Central Asian countries are not member of the Council of Europe. You can, of course, say that Central Asia is not in Europe, but, you know, that's a kind of geographic, like, argument which you can make. But politically, the whole Central Asian countries were part of the Soviet Union and, in a way, obviously, as much a part of the European system as Siberia, you know, and Siberia very much is in the Council of Europe. Vladivostok is in the Council of Europe, yeah, with the Russian situation. So ultimately, there is also Europeans living there. You know, you can also not make the difference between Kazakhs and Turks. You know, they are all Turkish people. Do you want to go into ethnicity arguments? I cannot understand that. Azerbaijan is in the Council of Europe with a deeply troubled situation. So ultimately, you know, the case for the Uzbeks and the people of Turkmenistan, the Turkmens, yeah, you know, that's quite clearly. And it's also a little bit opening the perspective for improvement of the situation with membership in the Council of Europe. I also say very much for Mongolia, that should be also treated in the Eastern Partnership. I will come to that one in the next podcast, but also in the Council of Europe. Yeah? I mean, these are good people. Huh? You know, they have not the choice to join China or, you know, the Indian world or something like this. Yeah, there is not a concept of Asia in that understanding. It's the Council of Europe which provides the system, and it makes not a big problem for us to have these eight countries more in the Council of Europe. And it will revive and revitalize the Council of Europe, because inside the European Union and NATO, we really have the basic coverage of the civic protection of the law system already established. So it's not the task to duplicate the European Court with competition between the two courts. No, the task is really to help in Russia, in Central Asia, in this fragile arc from between Russia and Turkey. This is really much more the task for the Council of Europe. So enlargement is the first thing. The second point is obviously, again, relocation, because we have to relocate this institution. Strasbourg was really the optimum location in the Cold War, and also when it came, this symbol of German-French reconciliation that Strasbourg is, and always will be, and that stays important. So I'm very much an advocate for uniting the European Parliament in Strasbourg, not to have this moving circus, but have the European Parliament completely meeting in Strasbourg all the time, all plenary sessions, yeah, all working sessions in Strasbourg. Yeah? That's a big role for Strasbourg. But the Council of Europe has to go to another symbolic location, and that's, in my view, the city of Gdansk in Poland. You know, we also have to reflect that the European center gravity is moving east, yeah? Not only because we lost the United Kingdom, obviously it's still in the Council of Europe, but also because of the reunification of the European continent after the end of the Cold War. And we don't have a lot of institutions in Eastern Europe, in Central Europe. So what we need to do is one very big, important, powerful institution to move to Gdansk. Gdansk is as symbolic as Strasbourg. Strasbourg, the symbolic for German-French antagonism, and Gdansk, obviously, you know, where the first and the Second World War started, the whole topic of German reunification of German war, of the World War II, everything is very much in Gdansk. It was a German city once, yeah? Now it's a Polish city. And the situation is, I think there is no more powerful symbol in Central and Eastern Europe than this city when it comes to the unification and peace which we have achieved in the recent years. Obviously, you know, I heard already when I said this comment, you know, there's some plot to take back Danzig, you know, in the current environment which we have in Poland, everything can be a conspiracy. I understand that, but it's not the meaning of it. The meaning is, this is a symbolic city, which is really a powerful symbol for what we are now, a united Europe, at peace with Central Europe, united Europe, which really has overcome all our internal divisions, our wars, our conflicts. And Gdansk to be honored by this role, to be the host city of the Council of Europe, is a very powerful symbol for this new Europe and for the success of the European peace project. Yeah? So I am very much in favor of that. Yeah? And that will also lead me to the fact that the Council of Europe has to shift its work focus towards the region where Gdansk is. It's very much the focus towards Russia, and obviously also to Turkey and Central Asia, but to the east, let's say. Yeah? And Gdansk is a better location. There is no issues in France with human rights in that sense. Yeah? And when they are, they will be addressed by the institutions. But, you know, there is a lot of things wrong in Russia. The French and the Germans have led this debate now that after the 2014 crimes of Russia by attacking Crimea and annexing it even, and also leading this war against Ukraine in Donbass, maybe not the official war, you can always, under question of terminology, matters obviously, but in reality it's a war funded and undertaken by Russia against Ukraine with the aim of hurting Ukraine for leaving the Russian world. And then you have the punishment was one of the punishments together with the sanctions and the G8 exclusion was obviously to suspend the voting rights of Russia in the Council of Europe. And that's very justified, you know. Council of Europe is about peace, about human rights, about democracy. When you then make a war of aggression and conquest, which ultimately that is, because Russia has forcefully integrated a part of another country, Crimea, in the Russian Federation. For the Russians, this is fully integrated now. So that's a war of conquest. And that's obviously also, they don't really keep the human rights of the Crimean Tatars. There is a lot of problems there where the Crimean Tatars are suppressed and mistreated. And that's obviously totally against the Council of Europe and everything. But, you know, the French and Germans have managed to go in a kind of internal European reset effort, one of these many failed resets with Russia in the Second Cold War, where, again, we gave a lot and they gave nothing. And we somehow felt good because we were for peace. Yeah, but peace cannot be built, you know, by unilateral concessions and defeat. Yeah, you have to have some standards. And what I say, probably this will not change a lot. Yeah, I'm in favor of suspending the voting right again, but this will not happen. But at least, you know, have the mercy to include and the decency to include then the exile government of Belarus, Kosovo, and Central Asia into the Council of Europe, and don't accept any kind of veto of the Russians on who we allow in our institutions so they can leave again. Yeah? Well, I understand, obviously, the argument about the human rights protections of the Russian citizens in the Council of Europe, and, you know, we should also have some platforms open in to cooperate with them, which should not lead to exclusions of the Belarusians, of the Kosovos and of the Central Asian citizens. They should also have deserve the same human rights protection like the Russian citizens. So that's about relocation, that's about enlargement. And now let me also make sure that, you know, we have to make this a stronger platform because Russia does also a lot of public executions from poisoning to shootings. We have all these Skripal cases. Nobody will ever forget the Ukrainian president being poisoned. He survived. That was a blessing. But and also Navalny publicly poisoned recently. So you have also the opposition leader of the conservatives of Russia, Mr. Nemtsov, shot in front of the Kremlin when he was organizing protests against the Ukrainian the war in Ukraine. So you see, you know, there, and you have killings in Vienna, in Germany, in London. You have really state sanctions, capital punishment of Russia on the ground in Russia and in the EU. I mean, these are declared state enemies. I personally lived also in Ukraine the last 4 years. And then I saw, not personally seeing, but close to my house, there were about four major killings, of Russian opposition leaders, politicians, or people who participated in the Ukraine and resistance against the Russian occupation, or journalists who were ever blown in pieces, or they were killed by assassins in front of the big hotels or the main shopping centers in the center of Kiev. Yeah, and there are many of these cases. And we have to put it on the agenda of the Council of Europe, because Europe is always very big against capital punishment. I'm also totally against the capital punishment. But we make every capital punishment of our ally America a big European topic. Yeah? But when the Russians kill people, and Europeans or Russians in the streets of European capitals, we have to make that a major topic. It's not acceptable, obviously, and it cannot go on like that. And again, also to come to the main point, it's obviously that the Crimean occupation and the occupation of Eastern Donbass by Russian forces or their proxies can never be accepted. Yeah? It's not going away. It will never go away. It is always an open issue. And one day, all these territories will rejoin Ukraine, or in the case of Georgia, Moldova, rejoin these countries, because we will invite them to NATO, to EU, and adopt the euro. And they will be so rich that these people there, they will not want to live under Russian conditions. Yeah? And we have to make sure that this will be the reality of the next 10 years. I've made all these explanations already in the NATO and EU enlargement parts. But now in the Council of Europe, again, let me sum up: relocating, enlargement, and also reforms. Yeah, we need a little bit more, you know, when we have an institution for human rights and then we have all these Azeri corruption scandals, you know, something is really not right there. We have also this situation with Russia there. So it needs a revamped leadership. It needs a kind of a new mission, and I think a relocation to Gdansk is the perfect opportunity to discuss about the role of the Council of Europe to invigorate and revitalize this important institution, and also make sure that this is a long-term stable contribution to peace, but focused very much on where the human rights and democracy is not really very strong. That's obviously, you know, in Russia, that's obviously in Turkey, that's in Central Asia, that's also in the Eastern Partnership countries, no doubt. Yeah? And here the task of the Council of Europe is for decades to come, and this will be very important. And so I'm very big fan of that organization. I was also trained as a youth activist in the Council of Europe in Strasbourg. But Strasbourg no more. It's time for Gdansk. It's time to move on. And it's time to refocus the resources and the competence, the institutions, further to contribute to the democratic and human rights transition of Eastern Europe. But not from Strasbourg, but from Gdansk. Thanks a lot.